and share a few words with him. Then he's going to introduce his wife, Aniki, who's going to come and share with us a little in a few minutes.
Thank you, Pastor. Pastor, we really love you. We respect you. And we thank you for speaking into our lives and challenging us and holding us accountable to what God's given for us to do. Thank you, Pastor. I'd like to introduce you to my wife tonight, Aniki. If you want to. Aniki, she's an amazing lady. I've been married to her now for 27 years. We have three children, Tracy, 25, some of you have met her, Juanita, 21, and Josh, 19. Aniki is a pastor in our church. She teaches the pastors. She teaches in the school life skills. And she has an amazing revelation from the Lord. So, as she ministers to you tonight, have ears to hear and eyes to see in the Spirit. Amen.
I'm his good thing. I just want to thank Pastor Gary and Miss Judy for having us. They have just loved us and spoiled us, and we just feel at home in their home. You know, the first time Pastor Gary came, he put his feet up on the couch and he was quite at home. And I said to Coral, that is the best compliment anybody could have paid me. You know, because some people, you go into their house and you sit. You don't want to touch anything. You don't want to move. He was just at home and comfortable. And I was just so appreciative that God brought him into our lives. And then I had the opportunity to meet Miss Judy when we came 3 years ago. And it's like we've known each other forever. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity you've given me. I don't take this pulpit lightly. I honor and respect you as a man of God, and I just thank you for that. Amen. And my husband, who's my covering and my protection, and he is, I'm sorry, ladies, but I got the best one. So you'll just have to make do, kind of, you know. But on the day that we got married, his dad read the proverb where it says that I'm his good thing. So he says, if he calls you thing, you can't get offended. So I don't get offended. It's an honor to be his thing. Amen. when we were in praise and worship, I was so moved. And Pastor Josh, I just want to say thank you. You know, you and your team do an incredible job. You know, where we come from in Harare, we have amazing praise and worship. You need to come there and see. It really is the best. Pastor Bonnie has the most incredible revelation. But when I come here, it's like I'm at home. You know, Pastor Josh has that revelation. And when he says to you, raise your hands, you need to raise your hands. Because he's not doing it just to give you a bit of exercise. There's a reason. He wants to take you into that place where you can receive from God. And I want to tell you something. Worship precedes revelation. If you don't enter in to praise and worship, all you will hear is a nice message. But if you want revelation, if you really want to understand what the Spirit of God is saying, then you need to enter in. So I just really appreciate that I can come here and freely worship and not have people go, what is she doing? Yeah, because not everybody worships in the way that you do. And it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. Amen. So thank you for that, for your obedience. I want to share with you tonight a revelation that God gave me. And I teach this in the schools. It's important that we train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But you know that we're all children. We're children in this house. We're children in God's eyes. And so our learning never ends. When you think that you've arrived and you know it all, you're in big trouble. Yeah? If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Peter. Peter 2. Verse 13 and 14 says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Submit yourselves. It's talking about the authorities, whether it's earthly or spiritual authority. God says you are to submit to it, because every authority is given by God. Every authority, whether you like it or not, that's how it is. And so he says, you submit to them as those who are sent by him. Your authorities in your life are sent by him. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Let's just go back there. It's just a little way over. It says, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Let them rule over you with joy and not grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. Not for them, for you. God's word is very clear that we are to submit to all authority. We need to remember who we are and who we were created to be. Why are we here? Why are you here? Nobody knows. We are here to bring God's kingdom on earth. We are here to establish his kingdom here on earth. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:17 that we are joint heirs. And Pastor Gary said that just now. So excited. I said, "Lord, you just confirmed my word." We are joint heirs with Christ. And he's King of kings and Lord of lords. That makes him royalty. So if we joint heirs, we are also royalty. Yeah? Amen. I like people to interact with me. So if we are royalty, then we should behave as royalty. In 1 Samuel 10:25, it says, "Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book. It was so important that they behaved correctly." It goes on. Let's go there to 1 Samuel. Because there's something important I want you to see here. 1 Samuel 10. It says, "Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home." This is when Saul was crowned king, because the people had demanded a king. So God chose and gave them Saul. "And Samuel sent all the people, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched." God will always surround those that he calls with people whose hearts he has touched. "But some rebels said, 'How can this man save us? Who does he think he is?'" Yeah? I know none of us ever say that. "So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." And when I saw that, I thought, now why is that in the Bible? They brought him no presents. Because it tells us in Exodus that you never come before the Lord empty-handed. Now God is not physically sitting here, but his representative is the man of God. And the Bible tells us you do not come before the man of God empty-handed. Because when you come to him expecting to receive a measure of his anointing, you should be sowing into that anointing. That's the behavior of royalty. When kings and queens visit each other, or presidents, they never go empty-handed. They always take a gift. I'm sure your president has got lots of gifts, and he's given lots of gifts, because they understand the protocol. And if the earthly kings understand it, how much more should we by the Spirit? Royalty cannot conduct themselves as common people. They are expected to live at a higher level and standard. It's a standard of excellence. And a standard of excellence is a standard of the kingdom of God. Royalty do not go around trashing each other. They don't gossip about each other. They don't go out and tell the tabloids on each other. Do they? They cover and protect because they live at a higher standard. Respect and honor are the same thing. If you have no manners, you will show no respect and no honor. So when you see someone being disrespectful, that means that person has got no basic manners. Yeah? Got very quiet. Do you understand me? Is it my accent? I'm not the one with the accent. You all are. You all talk funny. I talk just fine. I want to give you an example of the earthly and the spiritual authority. So I need you to interact with me here. So I want you to choose me a Mr. President. Have someone come up here, please, and be Mr. President. Choose somebody. You choose. Okay, Mr. President, come and stand up here. Now, would you like to be Mr. Obama or Mr. Mugabe? I'm used to doing this with Mr. Mugabe. That's our president. Okay, we'll just call you Mr. President. Okay. Okay, when you greet Mr. President, like in our nation, I don't come up to him and go, "Hey, Bob, how are you doing?" Huh? Do you go, "Hey, Barack, how's it going?" What would happen?
You get shot.
I'll just go to jail. Just as bad. No, there's a protocol to how you treat him. Good morning, Mr. President, or Sir, or in our nation we say His Excellency the President. Yeah? Right. I need the Queen of England, please. Can you choose me a Queen of England? Okay, you can stand there. Now, when Mr. President, well, I don't know, it might be different for your president, but my president meets the Queen, he doesn't go, "Hey, Lizzie, how's it going?" Does he? Why not? He's a head of state, just like she is. Because the rank of a queen is higher than a president. So he greets her as Your Majesty or Your Royal Highness. Yeah? Now, I need a Prince Philip. Prince Philip, anybody? Now, you know who Prince Philip is? No, wrong one. Stand aside. Prince Philip is the Queen's husband. That's it. Now, he's not called King Philip because she's the queen. Because a king outranks a queen. So because she's the head of state, he's Prince Philip, and he has to call her Your Majesty in public. Oh. She outranks him.
That was a man of the house or something.
Not of the land.
Now, if Mr. President here wants to greet Prince Philip, he still calls him Your Highness or Your Royal Highness. He doesn't say, "Hey, Philip, how you doing?" Because he still outranks him. Sorry. Now I need a Prince Charles. He's the one about whose son is about to get married. Prince Charles? Do you guys not like the Brits?
Camden.
There we go. Okay, you stand next to your father. Now, when Mr. President meets the kid, he doesn't say, "Hey, Charlie." Because of his connection with the higher ranking than him, he has to call him Your Royal Highness. So the children are given the same honor and respect as the parents. Yeah? Are we getting that? Okay, you can stay here, but just scoot over a little bit. Can I have God, please? You can scoot that way. No. Now I need a Pastor Gary. Nope. I'll explain to you why I'm not going to use him. You can stand at the top, please, God. Okay, right. So, this is Pastor Gary. Yeah? Not far off. Bit taller, maybe. Okay. So, the congregation comes. "Hey, Gary, how are you doing?" And we think that's okay. Yeah? I know you don't do that. Yeah? Which is higher, the earthly or the spiritual authority? You see, you can call him Gary, but then you'll get Gary. But if you want to tap into what God's put inside him, you'll call him Pastor Gary. Because what you do is you recognize the office, the call on his life. So if you want to just receive by the flesh, you can call him Gary. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's what you'll get. But if you want to tap into the office, to the anointing, then you will use the proper protocol and address them as Pastor Gary. Now, can I have a Miss Judy, please? God.
Stand by your man.
Gary and Miss Judy. Or you can have Gary and Judy. Yeah? You see, even though Miss Judy may not have a pulpit ministry, they are one. He wasn't called by God by himself. So when you disrespect his wife or his children, you disrespect the call of God. Because did you notice, I had you choose this authority. Yeah? You get to vote. You can vote them in or out. But you didn't get to choose this. This was chosen and put in place by God himself. So if you don't like that, Mr. President, the next time you get to put your X, you can say, "No, thank you." But you don't get to put an X here. So when you complain and murmur against your man or woman of God, what you're actually doing is telling God that you know better than him. Amen. God, you made a mistake, and I know that I could do a better job. So now I think I'm better than God. Can you see how important it is that you honor and respect all authority that's given by God, good or bad? You see, because if they're doing something that you don't like or you don't understand, they've had the conversation with God that you haven't. Now, you can go and make an appointment and say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." But you can't go in there and say, "You are doing this wrong, and I know you should do this and this and this because God told me." Whose name's on the door? Now, you can appeal and say, "I really feel that God's saying this to me, but please give me understanding." And he'll give you understanding. But when you come in and you start telling him how to do his job, you are in spiritual trouble. You bring a curse on yourself when you dishonor authority. Because this is the set man and woman of God for this house and this vision. God gave them the vision. He didn't give it to you. Yeah? It's very quiet. Am I standing on toes? No, I know that you all love your pastor. But you need to have understanding of why you honor. The Bible says you must be able to give an account for what you believe. So if somebody comes to you and says, why are you always nice to that guy? Why are you always honoring and respecting him and doing stuff for him? You can tell them why. Because you receive a reward when you honor what God has put in place. But you receive a curse when you don't honor it. You bring cursing on yourself. Now, if you want to say, Gary and Judy, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. There is a measure of blessing. But if you want everything that God has for you, you will honor the authority that He's put in place. If they completely mess it up, that's for God to deal with. I have yet to find in here where it says that the congregation is judge and jury. It doesn't say that. But when I read just now in Samuel here, it says, some rebel said, how can this man save us? Who does he think he is? I know better than him. Yeah? It says they were rebels. Rebels are in rebellion. Rebellion is as witchcraft in the sight of God. Now, if you come from Africa, you know what witchcraft is. It's a dangerous place to be. It says, and they brought him no presents. They completely dishonored and didn't want any of the anointing that he carried. And you know what they got? Nothing. But it says here that he held his peace. Because he knows it's not his place to fix you. God will do that. Thank you, my royalty and my president and my pastors and God. I have to use him because he's big, you see. Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. I want to tell you, your pastor, your man and woman of God, they labor in the word and doctrine. There's no way that they could lead the vision that they lead if they're not laboring in the word and doctrine. On their faces before God, crying out for you. Your faces are continually before them. This is not a Sunday job. I know everybody thinks pastors only work on a Sunday. But they don't. It's a 24-hour job. Who do you call in the middle of the night when you're in trouble? You call your man of God. And he's there for you. And yet we treat them as common. In the church today, the man and the woman of God are treated like hirelings. They work for me. No, they don't. They work for God. And the church of today is in trouble because we do not respect and honor the authority that God's placed. They are His representatives on the earth. So when you dishonor and disrespect that authority, you directly are dishonoring and disrespecting God. The word tells us, it doesn't suggest that we give them double honor. What does that mean? What does it mean to give double honor? No one knows? Whatever you would like to give them, you give them double. Whatever you think they should get, you make sure you give them double. Because the reward will come back on you. God works through people. He uses people to do his work on this earth. He uses you. He uses your senior pastors. But if we don't do what God tells us to, then we cry out to him and say, God doesn't hear me. No, because you're not hearing what he's telling you to do. And you put yourself in a place of cursing. Their families are included in the double honor. You don't take care of the pastor and neglect his children. The family is involved in the ministry. When the dad is away a lot because he's taking care of the sheep, when there are great needs, who's suffering? The children and the wife are releasing him to do that. You need to make sure they are taken care of. Because they are one. They are co-laborers. We put so much emphasis on our earthly authority. What would you do if your president walked in the door now? But if your man of God walks into the room, you'll go, oh, it's Pastor Gary. That's treating as common. He's worthy of double honor, more than the earthly authority. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. To be planted means that you are rooted. You've got big trees around here. Are they just there today and somewhere else tomorrow? No, they're rooted. Established. So it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If you are planted, it means that you will support the man of God that you come under. If you are just attending this church, then you'll float in and out and you'll do what you want when you want. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? How can you have your own way if your steps are of the Lord? So where does your guidance and direction and counsel come from? It comes from the set man. For instance, before we came on this trip, we didn't just, hey, we're going to America, jump on the plane and go. We went to our man of God. We went to Pastor Tom. We took him a seed and we asked him to pray for us, to send us. We didn't just wink. We were sent. When Carl has business decisions to make, he consults the man of God. Some people consult their hairdresser. Yeah? I know none of you ever do that. Why? Because there's a measure of anointing. If you are planted in this church, what you do affects the vision. So bad business decisions that give you a bad name out there affect this house. So whatever you want to do, you should seek the counsel and guidance of your man of God. Now, I'm sure he has other pastors. He can't just see everybody all the time. But do you understand what I'm saying? That is his delegated authority. You see, as a government has ministers that take care of various departments, so does the church. See, the kingdom is like a government. So his delegated authority, you know, we have people that come, I only want to see Pastor Tom. That is a failure to understand authority. Because if he has delegated a pastor to take care of that need, he operates under his anointing and covering. So it's as good as seeing Pastor Tom. That's like saying, I only want to see God. That's God's delegated authority. So if you are planted, you will support the vision. You will sow into the vision. When there's a call for help, you don't go, I don't feel like it. Or Saturday's my day to braai. What's it? Barbecue. Should I say Sudza Club? Then we'll really confuse them. You don't say, that's my day for my family. No, we don't have family and business and church and social life and movie night, and our lives are all compartmentalized. Our lives are integrated. They one. Because church is not where you attend, it's who you are. Church is not where you attend, it's who you are. I'm not Pastor Anarchy now that I'm speaking, and tomorrow I'm somebody else. I am who I am all the time. This is who God created me to be. So wherever I go, I carry His mandate. If I see you in the shopping mall and you need me to pray for you, I will pray for you in the middle of the shopping mall. Because it's who I am. I'm not embarrassed. You know, let's go to the ladies' room. No. The Muslims put their mat down in the middle of wherever they are and do their thing. And us Christians scuttle around the corner and because we don't want anybody to see. And we wonder why they're so powerful. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, a man who isolates himself, a man who is not accountable, seeks his own desire or agenda. He rages against all wise judgment. A man who isolates himself. This is my thing. God told me I'm going to go and do my thing. He's not under the cover of his pastor. He's doing his own thing because God told me. Seeks his own agenda. And it says here, he rages against all wise judgment. He's critical. He's the one sitting in church going, oh, this is so dumb. Why are they doing that? Why do they need a women's conference? Yeah? I know you don't have people like that here in America. But, you know, I have to talk out of my own experience. So don't isolate yourself. Submit all that you do under the covering of your spiritual father. Because when you do that, that is honor and respect. And God rewards that. Amen. So tonight, if you feel like you are planted in this house, this is where God has called you. This is your spiritual father. This is your man and woman of God. Our pastor's wife, Pastor Bonnie, has a saying. She says, your response determines your destiny. If you are planted in this house, if you know this is where God has called you to be, I want you to come to the front. Just move around and make space for everyone to come through. For 25 years, Carl and I have served our man and woman of God. We have not left their side. For 25 years, we have been there with them. Because it's the call of God. Some of you, God is calling to move to a higher level in this ministry. And I'm not talking about necessarily going into full-time ministry. But there's more that you know that you should be doing. and you're not, because your life was compartmentalized. And this is a turning point. I was so excited when we arrived and Pastor Gary was telling us how there's been a move of the Spirit through here. There is never a move of the Spirit just for the sake of it. It's because God's taking you to a better and higher place. There's more that He has for you. And so I just believe that tonight there's breakthrough coming in your lives. Breakthrough like you've never seen before. And it's going to come in ways that you don't expect. Remember, God uses people. So there could be unexpected sources that you would never have imagined. But you need to be open to receive that. And I believe that by your response, you have determined your destiny.
Some of the men who heard me speak the other night, I explained to you guys that how I committed to serve my pastor. And by serving my pastor, my destiny was set. And I'm beginning to reap what I sowed back then, which was 15, 19 years ago. So I just want to encourage you guys, always respond. Because as you respond, that's how you get to your destiny.
Pastor Gary, I present to you tonight your sons and your daughters. These are the people that you can count on. They are here to support your vision that God has called you to fulfill in this nation and beyond. So, these are your sons and daughters.
This is one of those kind of messages that I can't preach. You understand what I'm saying? It's also one of them that, you know, when I served someone else for 10.5 years in two different settings, I didn't know these doctrinal things. All I knew was my heart. And, you know, it's hard, I think, to take friendship and the phileo love side of what we are and what we do and so forth, and then look at it from the other side of that coin, which is the divine authority aspect of it. I'm really scared spitless tonight, honestly, because you think this message is tough on you. The Bible tells me I'm under double judgment. Double honor goes with the double judgment thing. And it's scary. But it's wonderful. Because it's God's thing. And I feel extremely honored. And we didn't talk about it. I didn't say, Aniki, please. Can you help me out here? I wouldn't do that in a million years. God didn't call me to be propped up by my friends, even though that happens sometimes. Pastor Tom talks to me about this stuff all the time because he comes from an environment where it's so black and white with spiritual warfare. And the man of God in that culture originally was known because it was the witch doctor. And God has the alternative to that. God has the original. The witch doctor is the alternative. And so they see it very, very, very plainly. Whereas here we live in a democracy. We celebrate the rights of the individual and the call of the individual and all that sort of thing. And it's a beautiful thing in its own right. But we talked about this one time from the pulpit, and it was just a couple of weeks ago. And if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. In other words, you get what he came to bring, or she. And on the other hand, if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. And obviously there's two different levels of reward there. And so I appreciate the treatment that I get, and I'm treated honorably in every respect. But I think this is more telling you why you're doing what you're doing. So you can understand with purpose that it's a godly thing, not just an affinity thing or a friendship thing. It's not that level. It's not that level. We are locked in a titanic struggle with the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God wins every time, but we have to play according to the kingdom of God rules. And so I think it's really, really important we fill in the blanks. And I've been privileged to see the effect, if you will, of this kind of an understanding in the lives of a church and a people there in Africa, in several different countries in Africa. This is a common understanding. And it's amazing what they're able to accomplish when they realize they're all on the same team. And it's just incredibly powerful. And the kids of those families are so blessed and elevated that they really outshine their natural abilities in many cases because they have so many people rooting them on. In America, churches don't do that. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. But I thank Miss Aniki for sharing this, not because I feel I don't get that, but because I feel it needs to help us understand why we do what we do. That's the main thing here. And I commit myself to you again tonight. I commit myself to you. God called me here to do this even before I saw your faces. And now that I see your faces, I like God's taste. I do. I like his taste. This has been the best 10-year period in my life. And I'm so thankful because around these altars some years ago, we had a lot of rebellion that manifested itself over a very short period of time. And it was devastating to us. And it caused Judy and I to recoil from public life. It was devastating. Hurt our kids horribly. Probably lost 400 or 500 people out of the church. And for 10 years, we've seen nothing but the grace and the love of God and the unity of the Spirit and all those kind of things, whether or not we understood the mechanics of it. Because I just can't stand up and preach this stuff, even though I've lived it myself. I've never called Pastor Price anything but Pastor Price. He's been a pastor to me. And I understand that, but I don't know how to demand it, and I don't want to demand it. I like to be Gary, your buddy. I like to be Gary, your friend, but I know the role I have. And when I lay my head down at night, I'm not just Gary, your friend. I'm your pastor, and I have to answer to God, and I want to do it with joy. And I get to right now. But I'm concerned about this one thing. As we move further into the Spirit of God and then the things of God, I know that I know because I've been here before that everything the enemy can do to try and divide and get certain people think they're more spiritual than other people. Certain people know they're hearing from God and the pastor's not hearing from God. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, burnt the T-shirt. Intercessors always know more than the pastor. Really? I thought intercessors were there to support. Maybe I'm mistaken. No. I believe in intercessors, but I believe in intercessors that intercede, not domineer. God's speaking to lots of people. God's launching lots of people into ministries. My job is to help the birdies fly. But you got to feed the birdies before the birdies can fly. You know what I'm saying? That's my passion. Trust me when I say this. I like to work myself out of a job seeing you do yours. You know what gifts I wish you'd bring to me? You do plenty for me personally. But I'd love for you to bring your gifts, your talents. Not to me. But to that which we do. We don't want to have to fight for volunteers. We don't want to have to impose lists of things that we need you to do and you and do and you and do and you do. We want you to bring your gifts and present them to the Lord. We just have to be shepherding and stewarding all of that stuff. And when you do that, God gives you more. That's what's so cool about this. So could you just do me a favor? Could you just hold hands with that person beside you. I always ask you to do this because to me, it's an illustration of the reality We don't talk about bodies of Christ. We talk about the body of Christ. That is a singular term. And tonight, it would take us and billions more like us to fulfill and to fill up the reality of what the body of Christ is. So we don't need spectators. We don't need judges. We don't need critics. We need cells functioning together. That's what we're here for. Father, I want to thank you for this night for truth. Inescapable, immutable truth. And God, I ask tonight that you would fulfill in us your heart's desire. What you had in mind there in the garden that day. When you made out of the dust the individual particles. One. You unified the many and made them one and breathed into the one the breath of life and they became a living soul. Let it be so in your church, God. More than we ever dreamt possible. Let it be so in your church, Father. That we realize who we are. That we recognize one another after the Spirit to no longer judge one another after the flesh. Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we can see what the hope of our calling is, God. Together. Not just as individuals with our own gift, but individually, members of the whole. And God, we bless you tonight. We thank you that although one can stand against 1,000, two can stand against 10,000. God, give us that kind of geometric progression as we love together, live together, and minister together. And Father, we bless Aniki and Carl tonight as they return to a very fruitful and a very difficult world. And God, we ask that you go before them and expand their horizons, expand their hearts, expand their ministries, God. Multiply them in every way you dream to. So, Father, we bless you tonight. We give you thanks. We honor you. You do all things well. In Jesus' name, amen.